Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is LWYM's podcast, which stands for Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. As usual, this is your servant, Giovanni Del Cristo. I'm the youth pastor of LWYM. And with me, as always, is my my partner in crime, my father also, of pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Jesus Martinez.
Good to be on board once again, Gio. Thank you once again for the invite. And once again, hopefully the Lord will use us to bless His people through the teaching of His Word.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking earlier this week, you know, I wanted to write something a little bit different on my blog. I wanted to do something more uplifting, but then this caught my eye, and I knew that we had to touch upon this because this is just more and more of the same apostasy that we are seeing. First and foremost, that the Bible does mention, and we are seeing it happen firsthand. And it's what's amazing to me is that more and more people are not able to discern what this actually is. You see that they are defending the very people, the very entities that are compromising the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I guess that is part of the apostasy situation that we're facing. And Paul, in writing to the Galatians, talks about itching ears. And so we just want to hear things that satisfy us. We don't want to hear what we need to hear. We want to hear what we want to hear. And so ministers are catering to that. It used to be that people taught us, preached to us. They informed us about the things we needed to know. Not anymore, because the money is so good. There's so much to be lost now in the realm of finances, contacts, places in life that people are asking, demanding of their ministers, teach this, be PC, that is politically correct. And ministers are saying, I think I'd best do this, otherwise I'm going to lose my position, my income. And, you know, it's cooperating to what you have rightly called apostasy.
Yeah, and what we're talking specifically is about, I'm pretty sure some of you have already heard about this controversy, so we wanted to expand upon it, is Rick Warren and Chrislam. Now, there's been a lot of negating, a lot of denying on his end and on the part of Saddleback, but as we see, this whole thing originated from an OC Register report written by Jim Hinch. Now, what is the OC Register? The Orange County Register. And he posted this article, if I'm not mistaken, on their actual physical newspaper and also on the website. Now, the Orange County Register, for those of you that don't know, is a local newspaper of Orange County. Why would this stir up so much problems? Because Saddleback Church is located in Orange County, California.
Right.
So obviously, it seems like someone had a firsthand experience, and what we can tell from the report that Jim Hinch put together, the person gave him even the document that was handed out in this event. But let's backtrack a little bit so we can get.
But wait, Gio, because somebody might ask, and so what does this have to do with me? I'm not part of Orange County. Yeah, but people have called Pastor Warren America's pastor.
Exactly.
So it kicks out, it steps out of the OC boundaries, and it affects all of us.
Well, isn't the purpose-driven church something that I think 40,000 plus churches submit to in order to have everything that they teach in the church according to that book?
Absolutely. It's a ridiculous figure. I don't have them before me at this particular moment, but it is a ridiculous figure, and these are churches that are following their guidelines as to church growth and supposedly Christian growth.
Yeah. And part of what is, so that's a good point, part of what was mentioned here in this article, you notice that Jim Hinch places here that he was proposing, and Saddleback Church was proposing, that Muslims and Christians get together for community events, community help, whatever the case may be. And among the things that were passed around in this dinner that happened in December of 2011 was a document that was being passed around. Now, where does this stem from? According to one of the individuals that was invited to give a presentation by the name of Jihad Turk, it's a Muslim who belongs to the Islamic Center of Southern California, he asserts that he was invited by Pastor Abraham Muhlenberg of Saddleback, who is the pastor of Interfaith Activities, according to the title that Jim Hinch places on his article. And in Jihad Turk's account, he says that he was invited over 2 years ago. And Jihad Turk says, I was open to the idea, so I said, let's get together as Christians and Muslims for the best of the community. And one of the things that was mentioned here was that there would be no proselytizing. There would be no evangelism, no witnessing to each other, which of course is a total compromise on what Jesus tells us to do. Now, the dinner happens. They pass out a document in this event, in this dinner, titled King's Way, in which in this document, it purports that Christians and Muslims serve the exact same God. This basically caused most of the controversy, and this is where Rick Warren comes in. And he personally began to write comments saying this story is inaccurate. It's 100% false, to quote Mr. Warren, to quote Pastor Warren. He says this is totally false, all of these accusations. But once the denial pieces started rolling out, Dad, you start noticing that it's almost like the tune begins to change a little bit. First, it was a flat-out denial. Then it was, yeah, a member put together a Bible study. Then it was members put together this. And then as the stories start coming out and out and out, we start seeing that, yes, in fact, it was Pastor Muhlenberg who invited Turk to this event. And it did happen because on the Islamic Center of Southern California's website, they used to have a page there where they even had photos of the event and a PowerPoint presentation slide in one of those photos where it says, this event is made to end 1,400 years of disputes between Muslims and Christians. Immediately when the controversy started, they pulled down the website, they pulled down the Flickr page with all of the photos. Obviously, now they're trying to mend everything in a hurry.
What's funny about all of this is that they signed a document whereby they're asking the All-Merciful One, which is a title very common to Allah, to forgive the Christians for all the mistreatment of the Muslims. And by the same token, this is the group that is now calling on people like you and me to repent because we hate Saddleback Church. Supposedly, we hate Rick Warren. So to me, it's very, very strange that we go to the Muslims and ask for apologies, something that we should not do, because I will not apologize for what the Catholics did throughout the years, because I have never been a Catholic. I'm not a Catholic now. And I call upon the Catholics to come to the feet of Jesus, because there is no such thing as, if you're Catholic, you're saved because baptism saved you. There's only one way to get saved, and that is for you personally to come to the cross, to come to Jesus and get saved. So whatever rift that lasted for God knows how long between Catholics and Muslims, Catholics should be apologizing for that, yep, and not Rick Warren, who considers himself an evangelical,
yeah,
a Protestant, and asking all of us to join him in asking the Muslims to please forgive us. Plus, on the other side of the coin, the Muslims did and continue to do a lot of damage to Christians and Jews alike. So this is a bunch of baloney. And we are called to evangelize the world, take the gospel to the totality of the world. And so who is Rick Warren to come up against what Christ has ordered in signing a document? Who are the Saddleback people to come up with a document just like Pat Robertson and Jesse Miranda did a few years back with the Catholics saying, we will not evangelize you? How dare them?
Yep.
But this is like you stated when we first started doing this edition of this program, this is apostasy at work.
Yeah.
And so people are saying, well, we must come to the unity of the faith. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 11 and 19 that there must be amongst us every now and then, it's just the nature of the thing, divisions, because that shows who is approved and who is not approved. In other words, I am not called to be one with every religion in the world, because first of all, we don't have a religion. We have a personal relationship with Christ.
Yep.
And we're called to preach the gospel to these people. So it's wrong on so many counts that I have a hard time looking for a starting place.
Yeah. And let me make a mention and clarify what those two articles, those two statements, if you will, are the ones that you were mentioning. The first one with Jesse Miranda and Pat Robertson is ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics together,
yeah,
in which they agreed not to proselytize each other because we were basically the same, you know, mm-hmm, all that good stuff. And then the second one, in which Rick Warren signed on to, that occurred in 2007. And he signed on to a Christian response to a common word between us and you. Now, that original letter A common word between us and you was an open letter, which was written by 138 Muslim scholars, clerics, etc., intellectuals they put on here, where it supposedly delineates the similarities between Christianity and Islam. And then in the reply, and this is to quote exactly from the document, I have a copy of it right here, that way people will say, where did you guys get that? It's open, it's available on the internet. You can find it off of Yale's website, if I'm not mistaken, and in other sources. It says, quote, "We want to begin by acknowledging in the past example, in the Crusades, and parentheses, and in the present," here's another parentheses, "in excesses of the war on terror, many Christians have been guilty of sinning against our Muslim neighbors. Before we, quote, shake your hand, end quote, in responding to your letter, we ask forgiveness of the All-Merciful One." That should already raise the alarms for people that are reading this stuff, because the All-Merciful One is a title that is given by Muslims to Allah.
Yeah, they'll argue that, no, it's also talking about the God of the Jews and the Christians. Then why don't you call him by some title that clearly explains that you're talking about the Christian God? You know why they don't do this, Jew? Because they know that Allah and God our Father are not one and the same.
Exactly. But then here's the thing. They love to blur the lines so that they straddle both sides of the fences.
Yep, yep.
They don't want to upset the so-called conservatives, because they always have to have a title for us. And they don't also want to upset the Muslims on the other side.
Right.
So they're always trying to play the fence on this. And it continues. "And of the Muslim community around the world." So I find that very interesting. And yes, Rick Warren did sign on to this. And our very good friend Jim Wallace signed on to this one also. So it was good to see that Jimmy Boy did sign on to that. Anyways, when all of this occurred, you notice, you know what? Let me say this before I continue. These are proofs. And especially in the 2009, when we see Rick Warren speaking at the ISNA conference, Islamic Society of North America, he speaks there and he says the following. I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but he says in essence the following. "I'm tired of interfaith dialogue." He says, "I want interfaith projects." So alone in this document, in this response to a common word between you and us, and in the ISNA conference, what he has said beforehand, it's obvious that he embraces Chrislam. And even more so, part of what is purported to be on this document of Kingsway is very offensive to Bible-believing Christians and to God himself. If you notice, some of the things that it says, for example, "who, we believe in one God." We believe in one God. That's what it says there. And it says, God is one. And it quotes from Mark 12:29 and from the Quran 47:19. Now, some people have tried to hide, and even the associate pastors who are trying to defend Rick Warren, they say, no, 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 all we're trying to see are the similarities. And in reality, the verbiage should read, God is one. I remember telling my wife, and I remember telling you, that now we're just arguing over semantics, because God is one and there's only one God. It's the same thing. They're just trying to be crafty, wordsmithery, I call it, to get away with without people, you know, becoming suspicious of what they're trying to do.
How can I become one and be one with the people who teach that Christ didn't really die at the cross, that there was a substitute?
Yep.
I am to be one. This is one and the same God.
Yeah.
The New Testament tells me to treat my wife as a fragile vessel. The Quran says to beat her into submission. And we can continue to quote differences. And so to take a couple of texts that seem similar, when any and all who have done some study about the Quran know that they borrowed from the Jewish Christian literature, and therefore you get some similarities. For me to say I am one with them, Allah and the God of the Bible are one and the same, it's so offensive.
Yep.
That only in an age such as this could Rick Warren get away with this.
Yeah.
Of course, we need to understand that there are millions of dollars involved with this church, with this author. And so you're going to get the spin doctors, and you're going to get high-powered individuals involved in all of this.
Yep.
And so we're glad that the evidence is out there, that the author to the article which launched this whole conversation and this whole presentation did not retract.
Yep.
He's got it. And so now, like you said, Gio, they're starting to try and save face and save image, because they got themselves inside the door of the evangelical circle, and they have sold books and seminars, and they have gotten so many churches to follow them that if this were to get out now, I think the losses would be plenty.
Tremendous, yep.
And they would have people like you, myself, the author of the article, just disappear, go away. But we are speaking with the evidence in our hands, and not only do we have the evidence in our hands, this is our obligation.
Yep.
To denounce these things. And to call on the people who are followers of this error to flee immediately.
Yep.
Because we are not called to be one with any other religion, philosophy, or ideas. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls us not to be unequally yoked with the unbeliever in whatever shape that happens to be. And so I think the Bible teaching is very clear, and the itching ears, they're here. It's now. It's happening right in front of our faces, Joe. And we must do all that we can to denounce these things.
Two things to clarify, and I want to make sure that people know this. When you had mentioned that these high-powered individuals that are backing Warren, for example, Zondervan, why do I mention Zondervan? In the last couple of days, I posted a video on our LWIM website about the situation and giving a sort of commentary of what's been going on. Immediately after we posted this video, actually it's a two-parter. You can check it out on our website, lwim.org. It's a two-part series in which I mention all of this and bring commentary on it. Immediately after we posted this, and we had mentioned it on Twitter, Vice President of Zondervan Publishing began to follow us, Steve Sammons. Who else began to follow us? Rick Warren's Chief of Staff, David Trezan, if I'm not mistaken, that's his name. Even a praise and worship leader of Saddleback began to follow us, and I said, boy, this is ironic. I wonder if they're trying to keep tabs on all of this situation, because they're trying to now really make the fires dissipate with as much water as they can, and people will understand my analogy. So be on the lookout on that, because if you notice, one of the things that Rick Warren says in an interview that, by the way, he gave, because he says, oh, I've given an interview for you people that love truth, but in reality, it's a conflict of interest, because the person that interviewed him to supposedly clarify everything is his church planting pastor. So he didn't offer himself up to a third party, you know, so it'll be down the middle. No, he offered himself up like a typical Barack Obama will do. Yeah, I'm going to take questions. First and foremost, submit your questions to me so I can pick and choose, you know. That's not giving yourself up to close scrutinization. And secondly, I like to expound on what you were saying about this whole issue of similarities. If we look at the Quran, for example, Surah 3:110, it says, you are the best of peoples ever raised up for mankind, talking about Muslims. But what does it say about Jews and Christians? Well, in Surah 98:6, verily, those who disbelieve from among the people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, and al-Mushrikun will abide in the fire of hell. They are the worst of creatures. Okay? Surah 9:29, fight those who believe not in Allah. Mm-hmm. Surah 9:123, O you who believe, fight those of the unbelievers who are near to you and let them find you in hardness.
Yep.
Surah 48:29, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are severe against disbelievers and merciful among themselves. And then here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. If supposedly we're all serving the same God, Sahih Muslim 33, I have been commanded to fight against all people till they testify that there is no God but Allah.
And the next one is very interesting.
Oh, this is interesting too. Surah 551, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians for friends. They are friends of each other. So what's going on behind the scenes here? There has been enough examination into the Muslim world that those that closely scrutinize the Quran understand that it calls for world domination. Muslims must, I mean, there would be no other reason why Iran is trying to gather together a nuclear weapon if Ahmadinejad and the regime that controls Iran believes this wholeheartedly, that they need to bring forth this imam so that the Muslims will control the world.
They've called for the disappearance of the nation of Israel.
Exactly. And then you've got a situation where you look at everything that goes on within the Muslim circles, and this is something people don't know. They believe in a thing called taquilla. What is taquilla? What is that, Gio? In Spanish, taquilla means ticket. No, it's not that type of taquilla. Taquilla actually means that the Quran permits Muslims to lie about their faith in order to advance Islam. For example, if they're outnumbered, if there's a group that's greater than them and they feel threatened, they can lie about Islam in order to advance it. Look it up, you'll be able to find it. Now, to end this, even though there's a lot of information, and we encourage all of our listeners to do the diligent research in all of this. Don't take this because we say it. All of this research is available on the internet. I want to end by examining very closely what Rick Warren says about his defense in one of his initial defenses, because there are many things that he says and he contradicts himself constantly. But this is the one that I really want to focus in on, because I think this is where we can basically destroy every other of his counterarguments. And this is published on pastors.com, in which he supposedly, it's a kind of like a forum website where pastors can come and receive supposedly toolbox things and different kinds of things for ministry helps and whatnot. And he says, quote, usually, and this is under an article he wrote titled On Responding to False Accusations, written on March 12th of this year. Quote, usually we try to ignore the false statements made by the media and especially irresponsible bloggers, because reacting to every false report would take up most of our time. It is almost impossible to undo an error's message, or damage rather, once it is on the internet. God knows the truth and he is the only one we must please. It is Christ-like to remain silent in the face of false accusations. God blesses us even more every time we trust him with our defense, and we have far more important tasks to accomplish with our time. Why the rebuttal? That's the only question I have. Then why are you constantly going out there and trying to, you know, quench the fires?
Yep.
So, I don't know. Ending thought.
Well, I think it's one in a series of incidents and situations that is overwhelming the body of Christ. And some people, once they go through a few of these, say, you know what? I don't want any more of this. And some decide to shut their eyes or do like the ostrich and hide the head. But the truth is that we are called to battle in these things. We have to battle. We have to continue to denounce. We have to continue to walk in obedience to Christ in all these things, because otherwise it'll come to the point, and we're very close to that, where the true gospel has disappeared.
Yep.
Ecumenical movements, ecumenical ideas, the secular humanist thoughts and ways of looking at things are kicking into place. And so, Gio, I am really, really, really concerned for believers who love the Bible, who believe that there is only one God, that the Bible is God's word to us, etc., that they are just staying quiet. I guess they're in hiding.
Yep.
And so I would encourage my brothers and my sisters in the Lord to speak up, and when they hear these things, to say, no, wait a minute, this is wrong. Yep. Just because you know that it's wrong doesn't mean that your brother in church, your sister in church, the beginner, knows that this is wrong, and so you keep quiet about it. I think in love we must approach our brothers and our sisters, especially those that are wrapped up in the purpose-driven church and purpose-driven people, and let them know exactly what is going on. Yeah. And then after you warn them, they can make their own choices after that.
Yeah. And when one keeps silent, all you're doing is allowing evil to advance at a more rapid pace. It's almost like as if one were guilty by association. You see that something is wrong and you're not doing anything about it. It's pretty much, you know, that is participation almost by association. I'd like to read these couple of verses to end. 2 John, verse 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Yes. John, the Holy Spirit, actually, through John, couldn't have said it any better.
Absolutely.
That's all the time we have left for this edition. Thank you, Dad, for joining us once again. We invite you to check out the ministry website, palabraviva.org, palabraviva.org. If you can speak Spanish and understand it, you can check out Dad's sermons on there and some other writs that he's put together. Also, check out our website, lwym.org, and our ATA website, which is lwym.org/ATA. You can also check out my personal blog, uncompromisedtruth.wordpress.com. Until the next edition, we want to thank you for joining us, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.